God is saying to them, that we come to the fullness of truth. So let's just take this before God this week and just ask him, God, is there something you'd say to me about healing? And we see a lot of people healed, but not nearly enough. And that is what drives me. I realize that we will go through some things, but I also realize that God is the healer. This particular subject, something that's been on my heart for a long time. And I think as I talk to people, most people, they want to hear God. Many people are confused about how they might hear him. Some, I find, are even afraid that they might hear him. And that one causes me to wonder. But this is something that's very dear to my heart. And as I think about, there's a big question out there among the theologians is whether God continues to speak in these days or not. And I wonder why they call themselves theologians if they're asking that question. Because God would be less than God if he created a people and just threw us out here and says, well, I'm not talking to you anymore. Now, those same guys would argue, well, he only talks through scripture. Then how did he talk to the early church? There was no scripture then. So it's just common sense that God wants to talk to us. Now, some of the things that were brought out last week, I thought Jackie done a great job of talking about how he speaks to us through the word and the impressions. Others talked about the perception that we have. Paul said, I perceive. But then there's those times where the Bible says that he spoke from heaven and the whole crowd heard him. Yeah, I think I would want to hear that sometime. I think I might get a little nervous on that one, but I would really like to try, because I think if God speaks audibly, it might kind of rock us a little. And I'd really like to hear that sometime. But there's times when we just know he's God. And the way that it works most of the time is through the Holy Spirit, who indwells all of us that are born again, and who also surrounds us. And immediately our mind thinks, how is that possible? We're human and he's not. And for him, that's possible. Now, throughout the course of these sessions, you're going to hear from about six different people, if you include Damon and I. And that's what excites me about this, is I get to hear from other people about how they hear God and what they've learned as they've heard him. And I remember asking several people when I was doing a cover-to-cover study about hearing God in the Bible, asking several people at leaders' conventions, talk to me about how you hear God. Some were very pompous about it. Well, I only hear him through scripture. And others would go into long detail, but the ones that I thought were probably really hearing God would become very emotional that God would even talk to them. But it would be the height of arrogance to think God would talk to us except for this. He invited us to come boldly and there to obtain mercy. Now it's be the height of arrogance to not come and say, God, would you speak to me? So Kathy's going to be sharing tonight. I'm excited about what she has to say. I haven't pushed these people to tell us what they're going to say, because I want to hear it just like you hear it. I want it to be fresh and new in my heart, just like it is in yours. So Kathy, come and give us what God has given you tonight.
I love my church family because you are so patient and kind, and your family. And I was kind of praying not a whole lot of people would show up tonight, but it's meant to be. Father God, we come before you, Father. We are so grateful, Lord. We are grateful for who you are. We're grateful, Lord, for what you've done. We're grateful, Lord, for how much you love us and how much you show you love us. But Father, I need you, and I cannot do this without you. I'm like Moses. I am not eloquent in speech. But Father, I know that you can give me the words to hear and the words to say, Lord. You have something to say to us, and I pray in the name of Jesus that you give me the words to speak. I ask these things in your name, O Lord. Amen. A little over a year ago, I was reading the Word, and I was reading Ephesians 1:17, and it just jumped out at me. And I'm going to go kind of quick in Scripture, but Ephesians 1:17, where Paul speaks, the Lord showed me that I could do this on a daily basis. Ephesians 1:17. It says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." I ask for that spirit of wisdom and revelation every morning because I need it, because I need wisdom in my day-to-day and talking to people. I need wisdom in work. I need wisdom with my family. I'm going to share with you, because not everybody's heard this, but when I was told Christ Family Church had first started a church, and that they were meeting at Patterson's at a restaurant, and I'm not sure, I think they met in a home first, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I think Sandra maybe told Karen, and Karen told me, and we said, let's try it out. So Richard and I went, and it was awesome. And I saw people I knew from different bodies that were gathering there. But as we left, and we went out the door, and we went down that long hallway before you leave out that front door of the restaurant, Richard says to me, I'm not sure about this church. And you know how the Holy Spirit is. When you hear that sweet, that inaudible impression, that whisper of the heart, he said to me, you're going to go through some things, and you need this church body to help you get through it. When our Father speaks, we recognize his voice. We know his voice. We know exactly what he wants for us, and we know exactly what he expects out of us when we hear his voice. And it's that still, small whisper of the heart, that inaudible impression. Damon and Glenn have taught me, and I know they've taught the rest of you too, in such a way that has literally changed my life, and that is a day-to-day conversational relationship where you just talk to him. And it's not, you know, a format or anything. It's just like normal. You're just talking to him. And I catch myself talking to him, and Richard knows now, you know. He's learned. I haven't lost it. But Damon and Glenn have taught us that we are spirit. We are a spirit being, so we hear him in spirit. On a few occasions, on at least two big-time occasions, and one of them was just driving in the car, he showed me how much he loved me. And it was so overwhelming. I was overcome in the spirit. But that love that he shows us, then we in turn want to show him how much we love him. So we worship him in spirit and truth. We do anything we can to please him. We want to be, his love for us causes us to love him even more. Now there are, I don't know about you, but there are, for me, sometimes out of the blue, you feel such an overwhelming peace, and you feel his presence, and you feel like this is the best time of my life. This is, oh Lord, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And then usually right after that, I've learned it's a trial, or it's a hardship. There's something, there's a storm that comes. I don't know if you felt that, but I've kind of learned now after a while, after feeling that way, he is letting me know, that's him speaking to me. He's letting me know that something's coming, but don't worry about it. Remember what happened before that. I am walking with you. I'm going to get you through this. It's going to be okay. When I was new in the charismatic experience, and I was so excited, and everybody wondered why she is so excited, my old church. But I started running around with my new charismatic friends, and they were little old ladies. You know how that goes. And we had a little prayer group. And so at the prayer group, they'd say, so-and-so's speaking like a body of Christ, or there's a revival in Macon, let's go to that. And so they were on fire, and I got on fire. But they also wanted to go because they knew somebody was going to be speaking that would give a word. You know how that is? They want to give a word over somebody, and they want to hear. So we'd go to these things, and they would be running up forward so they could get a word. And I didn't want to go forward, but once in a while I would. But I never got a word. Except one time in a small, intimate prayer group, there was one lady who I had no clue who she was, and she didn't know me. She was from out of town. And she did have a word over me, but I went home, I wrote it down, I stuck it in my Bible, and I thought, I'm just going to see. I'm just not going to take it for granted and get all yee-haw about it or anything. But he will let us know what he wants us to know if we're open to hear. We don't have to have that word from somebody. We don't have to go running around. A few years ago, I was in Walmart, and I felt impressed to go to the Christian book section. And if you've ever been there, there's not a whole lot in that Christian book section. But I was just impressed to go in there, and there was a book, and it was on purging your family tree, a Christian book. And it was about how you get rid of things in your life that displeases him, or your things in your home that would cause harm. What I really liked about this book towards the end was it was about the four watches, the watches at night. The Jews divided, as I understand, the Jews divided the night into three watches, but the Romans divided the night into four watches, and the Jews recognized those watches. It would be from 6 to 9 is the first one, 9 to 12 the second, 12 to 3 the third, and then, of course, the fourth would be 3 to 6 a.m. And the fourth watch was often described as the time for a surprise attack or activity to take place. In Psalm 63:6, it says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. And then 119, 148, it says, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Now, I don't know about you, but some of us have that automatic alarm clock. And for me, it's always 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't need the alarm clock set. It's just, but there are some times where he'll wake me up at 4 o'clock or even 3 o'clock. And leading in this, getting ready for this, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. And this morning it was 3 o'clock. And there's other times it was 3 o'clock. But you know when it's him in the middle of the night. And what I appreciate about our prayer group is Arlene Fast, who is a great mentor, said that when she wakes up in the middle of the night, she prays for Israel. She prays for the Christians, the Jews all across the world. But you know when you wake up in the middle of the night and someone's on your heart and you pray, that's the Lord. You know, the Lord speaking you to pray for someone especially. How many of you saw The War Room, the movie, The War Room? You did? I thought what was so neat about that was that we can lay claim to Scripture. Whether in a family member or a situation, we can write the Scripture down and we can post it in our prayer closet and we can pray daily for that. And then we can just watch the Lord as he works us through that process of seeing those answers to prayer. There's power in the Word. For me, it's just reading. I have a 1-year NIV daily Bible, and I love it because it's like a novel. You pick it up one day, and you remember what you read the day before, and it just kind of flows throughout the year. But I like the Scofield Full Life Study Bible for research. The Scriptures just come alive right at the time you need it. It's amazing how he works. And it was, Chelsea got it the first day that she came to the store. The Lord had shown me in our store that with all the different vendors, the different booths, you get familiar with their product. You get familiar where everything's at. And when something's missing, when something's out of its place, we recognize that. We know, we sense when something's wrong. Well, that's with the Word. That's with him. We get so familiar with his ways. We get so familiar with the Word that we know when something's just not quite right in our spirit. That's him speaking to us. I have to. Damon's not here, so that's kind of good because... Well, before that, when I was young, married with little children, there were a couple of occasions when I was just in error. I was wrong. And the Holy Spirit, in that inaudible impression, that whisper of the heart, on 2 different occasions, corrected me. He showed me where I was in error. And it hurts to be corrected. But one thing is, you'll never forget what he says when he does it. And otherwise, I would never have known I was in error had he not spoke to me about 2 different situations where I was wrong. But the thing about Damon is I've heard Glenn and Damon talk about, they disagree sometimes. So it's okay to say it because he's not here, but... He always comes against Fox News, if you've noticed. And yes, too much of anything is not good. But for those of you that do watch it once in a while, there was a time when, in recent months, where ISIS had those Christian men, do you remember where they were lined up? And they were kneeling down and they were getting ready to behead them. And that just stayed with me for so long. Not long after that, they had the report that ISIS had taken hostage a large group of Christians. They were men, women, children. I don't know if any of you knew that. And taken them hostage of all ages. And the Lord woke me up several times in the middle of the night. And then throughout the day, I was impressed. He led me into a fast. Fast isn't always saying I'm not going to do something. Fast is just sometimes you have no desire. He takes away that desire for things. The social media takes the desire away from eating too much or even eating at all. But he led me into a fast for a time for those people. Because after what they did to the Christian men. Do you know that it was like a week or two later, they gave the report that they had let some of them go. Now, ISIS doesn't let Christians go. So how do we not know that wasn't the prayers of the people, speaking to people, you know, at all times of the day to pray for them? How do we not know that was why they were let go? And I've never heard any more whatever happened to the rest of those that were still held hostage. When I talked with my father, I don't always get an answer. But I do get the faith and the hope that he will answer. And sometimes it's going to be a year later, and he reminds me of that prayer that I prayed. And then he answers it, and then he shows me the process that it took from the time I started praying until I actually saw the results. He always answers at the right time. And I don't have worry. I don't worry about what I have need of because he knows what I have need of. I mean, I don't worry because I know that he'll take care of it. Because he cares about what I care about. Now, before I came to this church, there were happenings. There were things that would happen, not very often. But since coming to this church, it's more intense. It's like something's going on. The Father's showing us something. Glenn had asked me to read a book about hearing God, and I had not received it yet. I had it, but I hadn't started reading it yet. And I think it was early December. I was going home, driving in the car, late at night, and I wanted to be alone with him. That's my good prayer time, is when I'm driving. And I had done something wrong in trying to do something right, and I was just pouring out my heart to him and asking for forgiveness and fervently praying. And about 2 miles from home, the radio came on. I touched nothing, but it automatically came on, and it was the song, The God of Wonders. And I think we sing that here once in a while. From the beginning of the song till the end. And I don't know, I probably turned it off at the end of the song. But the Lord showed me right then. He showed me that before I got myself in that mess, he had told me the answer. But I didn't understand that it was him. I thought it was me. And then he gave me flashbacks of other times in my life when I missed it. But he showed me where he had given me the answer at the very beginning. If I'd only had been paying attention, I could have avoided those things. And after I started reading the book, then I realized why things are happening. He moves in supernatural ways to show us that he's there. And then he showed me in other times of my life where he's been there when I thought I'd missed it, but he had been there all the time. So I did a study after that happened, and I went into Strong's, and wonders is described as something strange causing the beholder to marvel. Is always used in the plural, always rendered wonders, and generally follows signs. In Acts 2:17-21, and it's the same as in Joel 2:28-32, and I know you're very familiar with it. Acts 2:17-21. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then I looked it up, and it says wonders in verse 19 in Acts, wonders occurs alone, where normally it follows signs. Now a sign, I don't know if you probably all know this because you're all mature believers, but a sign is intended to appeal to the understanding. But a wonder appeals to the imagination, a power, a dunamis, indicates its source is supernatural. Wonders are manifested as divine aspiration in 13 occurrences in Acts, and 3 times they are ascribed to the work of Satan through human agents. In 2014, some of you probably remember the blood moons. Remember the blood moons that took place? 2 of them in 2014 and 2015, there were 2. The first one in 2014, I didn't pay attention to. I saw it on Facebook and people talked about it and said they saw it. The second one, I was coming home from a class reunion meeting and it was dark. And I was about 2/3 of the way home. I looked up and the moon was that bloodish, that orangish red. And I hadn't even thought about it, but then I realized that was the night that was supposed to be the blood moon. And this thing was huge. It was so huge. I don't know what would have been, I don't know what's on the other side of the earth, opposite of Bashir. But this thing was on the other side of the earth, huge, almost touching earth. And I was in such shock and wonder, and I thought, why aren't the cars stopping on Highway 6? Why aren't they taking pictures of this? This was too huge for imagination. So I called Richard on my car phone, and I said, Richard, go outside, please, because I didn't want to take a picture, because I didn't want to cause an accident. But I said, Richard, please go outside on the back deck. It's right over the back deck. It's right above the house. There's a blood moon, and it's like touching earth. It's that close. So Richard on the phone says he goes out to the back deck, and he says, I don't see it. And I said, what? What do you mean you don't see it? It's over the house. It's almost touching earth. It is huge. You can't miss it. Just take a picture. And he said, I don't see it. I was like, so I'm hurrying up trying to get home because I want to take a picture of this thing. And as I'm down in the valley of turning off into Lawson Hill Lane, and there's the trees, and I lose sight of it just briefly, just a few seconds till I get up the hill, Cemetery Hill. That's going to be great because I'm going to really see it and take a picture, and I'll stop. I get around the corner. It's just a few seconds, and it's this little bitty thing way up high in the sky, and it's nothing. I said, oh my gosh, Lord, that had to have been you. How could I have seen something so huge, and then it's nothing? Because I thought Richard was losing it. But a few years ago, when Glenn first came here, and for some of you that have been here for quite a while, you remember we used to have a problem out in the front of an odor. Do you remember that? You don't remember the bathroom odor? Okay, yeah. Well, before the bathroom odor, before all that, I came into church one morning and praise and worship, and when I sat down, there was a horrible, horrible, foul stench in this church. It was so horrible that I knew that everybody had to have smelled it, and that the basement had to have reeked of it. But nobody was acting funny. And I thought, well, why is everybody just being kind? They don't want to say anything because it stinks so bad. What is going on? And then whenever Glenn started giving his message, the smell went away. So I thought, what is going on? What's with me? How come I'm smelling this? And I asked Karen that week, I said, did you smell something at church Sunday morning? And she didn't smell it. So I messaged Glenn, and I try not to bother our pastor and his wife, very often because I know they have a lot on their plate, but I message Glenn and I say, Glenn, what would that have been? I was thinking in my human mind, it was during praise and worship. So was the praise and worship not pleasing unto him? Was that what was going on? Was I hearing that? But Glenn said he'd heard that from another gentleman, that it was the smell of fear. I had never heard that, a spirit of fear. About a month or two later, we had an older couple who was looking for a church home. They'd moved to this area and they brought their entire family, and they had been coming to our church for several months. And when it came that Sunday morning, they were sitting over there, and I was sitting right behind them. And towards the end of praise and worship, and I can't tell you if there was gifts of the Spirit moving or what happened, but towards the end of the praise and worship service, that smell came, but it was in a small form, and it was between them and me. And then I knew. It was a spirit of fear. And then the message began, and Glenn started the message, and the smell went away. That was the last Sunday that they attended our church. And not that they're not good people, they just didn't understand the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. And they went on to a different church, good people, but they didn't understand. And the Lord showed me. He showed me that before so I would understand what happened at that time. I thought that was amazing. I haven't smelled it since. I hope I don't smell that since. But Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:12, the things that Mark, an apostle, signs, wonders, and miracles were done among you with great perseverance. And then also in Hebrews 2, verse 4, it says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I like the footnote in this study Bible. It says, the Holy Spirit, through the writer of Hebrews, reaffirms that God confirmed and supported the gospel message with signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit. After his resurrection, Christ promised that miraculous confirmation of the gospel message would accompany all who believe. It's for today. He gives us these happenings, and sometimes it's just an awesome, awesome sense of his presence. And he's letting us know that he's here, and that's hearing him. And then sometimes you just get that overwhelming sense of peace and rest, and that's hearing him. He doesn't have to say a word sometimes, you just know. And you don't have to pray a prayer. He's just there, and that's all you need. And then sometimes you hear something in your spirit, you know it's him, and that's hearing him. And whether it's that still small voice or a happening, whether it's scripture jumping out at you, or whether it's someone that says something to you that confirms what you already had heard but you weren't sure, that's hearing him. Sometime I'd like to hear somebody preach, maybe, on the five senses of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we'll see visions, we'll have dreams, signs, we'll have wonders. And with that sense of smell, we'll smell the spirit of fear or that pleasant aroma. I'm sure some of you have sometimes smelled that pleasant aroma. And then sometimes we'll feel his touch. It's that presence, the Holy Spirit. You know he's there. And we'll hear him in that inaudible impression, that whisper of the heart. And I've always wondered about the taste. What would the taste be? Other than when I'm in awe of him and it's praise and worship or it's his presence, or you feel that love, the tears come streaming down and you taste your tears and you know that he knows. He knows each tear that you shed. Whether it's praise and worship, which I hear him a lot during praise and worship, and you know how you'll have those days where it's, you know, there's days, I can't take it. But you get in the car and you put on the praise and worship and it changes the atmosphere. It totally changes it. Or if you're home, get rid of the TV, get rid of the radio, get rid of whatever. You put on the praise and worship and that changes the atmosphere. He'll speak through you through that. And it's even times when you're walking outside in nature and he shows you things. You feel his presence. You feel him walking with you. You sense that he's there. You don't want to leave because you know he's there. And I love spring because you see the buds on the trees and you see the flowers starting to grow. And he shows you his creation. That's hearing him. And then there's other times in your life where you feel like he's so far away. You feel like you've missed it. You feel like he's abandoned you. You've prayed. You're not getting anywhere. And then he'll give you a flashback, and maybe a year later. And he shows you that at that time, he was there, but he was on the sidelines, and he was just watching, just observing, just waiting on you. And then he shows you the process that it took to get from there to where you got that answer. He has moved in such supernatural ways in my life. And I know I am nothing. And it's not because of me. But I know I'm not the only one. I know I cannot be the only one in this church where he's moved in supernatural ways to let you know that he's there. Most of the time, the way he moves with me, or I sense him in supernatural ways, and not all the time, but most of the time, it has to do with either water or with light. Not all the time, but frequently. And there has been times when Richard has been there, he's witnessed it, and you cannot deny. You cannot deny it's him. Most of the time, he's not there. But even someone that doesn't quite believe, there's no denying. And so that's why he doesn't come all the time, but he knows God is real because he manifests himself. So I went into the Vines Dictionary, and I'm thinking, why water and why light? And the Vines Dictionary says, the water would symbolize the moral and practical cleansing effected by the removal of defilement by taking heed to the word of God in heart, life, and habit. Christ came by water and blood. And in 1 John 5, 6 through 8, it says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. And then also in just John 3, John 3, 5 through 6. John 3, 5 through 6. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. And in this case, the water would be emblematic of the Spirit. And then I looked in Vine's dictionary and thinking, well, okay, what would the light represent? And light, believers are called sons of light, not merely because they have received a revelation from God, but because in the new birth they have received the spiritual capacity for it. Apart from natural phenomena, light is used in Scripture of the glory of God's dwelling place, the nature of God, the impartiality of God, the favor of God, the guidance of God, a witness for God. And I don't know what this, I don't know how to pronounce this word, and Glenn has probably spoke on this before, but posthumous? Is that, how? What is it?
Posthumous.
Sounds good to me. It is an illumination, light. It is used metaphorically in 1 Corinthians 4:4. It said, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And then in verse 6, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Wow. That's awesome. He meets me on the level that I am at. And it may be a while before I actually get it, what he's trying to show me. And I don't always hear that still small voice, but I'll never forget it because I know it's him when he does speak to me. You recognize his voice. It's powerful, and yet it's gentle, but then it's not always gentle. And there are times when just no words are necessary. His presence alone is enough. You get to where you want what he wants, and you want to please him. It's been a few years since I read a book, and it was about honoring others and on honoring those over us. And the Lord showed me that at times in my life when I wasn't hearing him, it was because at that time I wasn't honoring others over me. Like when I was a teenager, I didn't honor my parents. Or later on, my spouse or a boss. You know, we all have those jobs where the bosses are horrible and we don't honor them because it's hard. But then he doesn't answer your prayers and then you wonder why. I have so much respect for our pastors and their wives, so I try not to bother them a whole lot. But when Damon spoke on January 24th about submitting our will, Richard came to church that morning. And we had already had conversations for several years about something that he wanted to do that I just didn't, you know, I don't know. He wanted to go somewhere that I just didn't feel comfortable in going. And so where are you to be when you honor your husband? But, you know. And so when we left that Sunday morning, we got in the vehicle and, you know, I said, "Richard, you know, about that. I just don't feel right. I just feel like to me personally, it would be wrong to do it. I feel like it would be sin." "And how, why do you think that?" And I said, "Okay, well, let me just ask Damon," which I try not to do that, but I text Damon. And thank goodness Damon did not respond. He did that on purpose, I'm sure. But he didn't respond for several days, which was good because the next morning I got the answer. And I got it at 5:30 in the morning. And I heard directly from the Lord on that one. And it was okay. That's the way it should be. In order to hear him, We need to remove any hindrances or anything that blocks us, blocks in the way. It was that very same week that another discussion early in the morning, before we left for work, and he said something, and my response to him, even though I was right in what I said, it was wrong on how I said it. And I immediately felt conviction. I knew right then I shouldn't have said it that way. But did I take care of it? No. Went on to work, and I'm trying to hear him about this, and I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear a word. There was that block there. Until I got home and I took care of it. And then once again, I was hearing from him. It's removing anything that would hinder us. We never want to get caught up in past experiences. We never want to get to where we rely on happenings or anything. We never look to that. We never want to be kooky. And we don't want to, you know, people that they tell the same story. What happened 30 years ago? And great that happened, but it's the today and it's the now. We need his wisdom and revelation for today. We don't seek the signs and wonders, but if it should happen, it may just be that he's wanting to say something to us. He's wanting to speak to us. Or it could be that he's just wanting us to know that at that time, he's there. It's the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and those three are in agreement. I'm going to let Glenn take it.
Thank you. Good job. What a cross-section of ways to hear God. And every one of them, you can back it up scripturally. I don't remember exactly how Kathy said it, but something to this effect, that God will speak to you wherever, whatever your level is. And that's something we need to really put in our minds, is that God won't speak to you beyond your level of responding. Sometimes we sense the silence of God, and one of my old teachers always spoke of the thundering silence of God. That there's something from the realm of the Spirit that is thundering to you when God is silent. And it's usually a correction of some kind. But sometimes he's silent, waiting on us to realize that what we've been saying to him and expecting of him is so outside his character that he will never do it. And he will wait until we're ready to hear him on the level that he's speaking before he speaks to us. We serve an amazing God. And I've found that one of the most important things for my hearing him is for me to be willing for him to say either no, or for him to say, you're totally wrong on this issue. Let's talk about it. And many times I've heard him say, on this issue, you're wrong. And that's really, how do you put it? It's not gentle. It's not like we like to do things these days where it's really politically and socially correct and I feel real good about it. Makes me feel like a worm. And kind of like what he said to Jacob, you know, one of the prophets said that he was talking to Israel, said, you worm, Jacob. He said, but I'll make you into a new and a sharp thrashing instrument. Right now you're kind of wormy, but I'll fix you if you'll let me. God talks to us like that. He's not really concerned. He's not concerned about my feelings, I know. He might be concerned about yours. I can't say whether he is or not. One thing I want you to see about what Cassie has said, what Jackie has said, what Damon has said last week is all three have a little bit different way of looking at it, but all three are hearing God. And when you bring together some of what Cassie said and some of what Jackie said, you're just, to me, I sat back there in amazement, because one of the things I wanted to say, not in any kind of correction, but just before opening questions, is that God will only speak to you within his character. Don't expect him to speak to you outside of that. And how do I know his character? Well, Jackie was teaching last week, knowing this word. That's how I know the character of God. I need to know the Old Testament as well, if not better, than I know the New Testament, because in the Old Testament, I find how God himself deals with people. I need to know that. That way I won't say, well, God will do this, when God's saying, oh, no, I won't. There's a lot of things that the so-called charismatic and Christian world are saying today that God will do. They're saying it very absolutely. And I'm telling you, God will not. Why? Because it would be outside of the character of God to do that. He never moves or speaks outside of his character. So it's important to me to know his character. And one of the ways I know him is in this book. And my goodness, when you read the Old Testament and you see how long-suffering he was, some people always point to the violence that happened during judgment, but I like to just think, my goodness, he dealt with them so long, and so he's so loving and so kind until they finally became a threat to his kingdom on earth, then he took care of it. And that's why I say that in this nation, we don't have a good time ahead of us, because they're trying to be a threat to his kingdom on earth. And I'm telling you, he won't put up with that. Not for very long. I don't know what will happen. I'm not asking him, because I really don't want to know. We'll just live it through. But I know that we won't be shining forth as the greatest nation on earth very much longer. Matter of fact, I doubt that to the other people on the earth that we're shining forth like that now. Anytime our leaders apologizes for being American, you know there's something in the wind. And that's not a political statement, that's a real statement. Hearing God. What a tremendous concept. But you can hear him. Questions, any questions you have concerning what Kathy was teaching, anything that we've said, or anything to add to it?
I really like what you said about the more you read his word and have time in communication with him, the easier it is to recognize when it's him speaking to you.
Yes. And that's very important in these days. There's a lot of stuff out there, folks, that's just not the Word of God. It can't be backed up scripturally. All kinds of excuses for that, but none of them will do. Because he wants us to operate within the confines of his Word. Anybody else? I love the story of the blood moon. And I don't doubt in my mind at all that God made that very large in your eyes. I don't doubt that at all. I just think, God, what an amazing thing. And the significance of that probably will keep me awake for for days. Anybody? Yes.
I can tell you the story behind why Damon didn't text you back, Kathy. When you texted both of us, and I was thinking about what to tell you, and God showed me what to tell you, but then I asked Damon, I said, do you think I should tell her that? He said, no. He said, I'm going to call her. I'll call her. So he waited and waited, and after you've been in the ministry for a while and people call you and ask you questions about what to do, you start getting more wisdom. And but anyway, he just said, I'm going to call her. It's okay. And then later on, you texted back and you said, I got the answer. And he said, well, good. She got the answer. So I don't know if he knew that God was going to tell you what the answer was or what, but sometimes you just wait, and
that there is a very thing that was early on very hard for me to learn, that I might have the answer, but sometimes God said, "Don't give it." And what a discovery it was for you that God directly gave you the right answer on that. And who knows? You know, I've been in a situation, and Damon and I think alike on some things, not all things, but I've been in a situation where my answer probably would have been the wrong one. And God would check me, and I wouldn't give an answer, and somebody would come to what was the real answer. And I've told people before, if I had answered you, it would have been wrong. Because what God has said is what you need to be listening to. Anyone else? A lot of thoughtful faces out there tonight. One thing I want to leave you with, if there's no more, and Kathy talked a lot about prayer, and this is one of my favorite passages of scripture in Revelation 8. Those of you that don't know how I look at Revelation, I'll just tell you in a nutshell. It says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, so I just accept that. And I don't read it like the revelation of end times. I read it as the revelation of Jesus Christ among the church. It makes a big difference in the way I see it. I'm not wrestling with when he might come or when he might not. I'm just looking at a revelation of Jesus Christ moving among the churches. And it makes a complete difference in the way I look at it. But in chapter 8, it talks about, I saw seven angels, verse 2. Seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given. Now, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and much incense was given to him that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. The angel took the censer, he filled it with fire of the altar and threw it to the earth, and there were peals of thunder, sounds of flashes of lightning, an earthquake. Now, we could get into all kinds of end time implications on that, but here's what it really says, is that there is a process that when we pray, God takes the prayers of the saints and puts the fire of the altar on them in his heavenly, wherever, whatever. And it rises up before him as a pleasing thing. That's also in Revelation. But when it's the right time, the result of that goes forth on the earth and causes those wondrous things that Kathy was talking about. So don't give up on your praying. A lot of times we pray, and you know, here in the United States, if we don't get it done in a week, there's something wrong. Sometimes you'll pray for years about something. I just always think of George Mueller, and he prayed for three of his friends all of his life. Two of them were saved when he was midways through life. The last person got saved kneeling on the grave of George Mueller. But before George Mueller died, he said, oh, he will be saved. How could it be other? I have prayed. Folks, that's the power of persevering prayer. How could it be other? I've prayed. And I think that's the attitude that we need to see things like. I'll tell you what, I'm going to be the most surprised man in the country if Bill Elsie don't come forth with a testimony of being cured of cancer. Why? How could it be other? We've prayed. Now, it is appointed unto man once to die, but let's die with both legs working and both arms swinging, both eyes seeing. Let's go out that way. Let's not go out any other way. Let's pray the kind of prayer that says, I've laid hold of God, and my prayers are being burned on the altar before him as a sweet-smelling savor. And when the time is right, the answer will go forth on the earth, and it'll be like a wonder among people. And I tell you, I don't know what people do without prayer. I just don't know. What would you do? No hope. You just let things happen. Are my prayers always answered? I have that question often. I don't really know, because I don't know all the answers that could come to the prayer that I pray. But I know this, they're always heard. Because when we call on him, because we're covered by the blood, our voice rings out in the realm of the Spirit, and my prayer stands before him. That I know. The rest of it's up to him. But let's begin to hear him in prayer too. I get disgusted when I see and hear how some people pray. Oh, Father, I pray that we win this ball game. Are you praying that we win the ball game? What utter nonsense. I've stacked my prayer up against a prayer on all the other teams, and now God's going to favor me, or is he going to favor them? God don't get involved in that nonsense. I might pray that none of the players would be injured, but God does not get involved in the nonsensical that the Christian world has become involved in. Hear him in your praying. Hear him in your living. Hear him in your speaking, and you'll be amazed at the wonders that will start happening around you. Anybody else? If not, we must be close to an hour here. So we'll wrap it up. God bless you. Thank you for coming.